Thank you so much for coming out this morning. It is truly a delight and a privilege to be able to share with you from the Word of God this morning. And welcome to those who may be visiting with us. It is truly a joy and a delight to have you with us as well. And we invite you back again, should the Lord lead you in that direction. Thank you for coming. We appreciate you being here. I'd like to mention something that I came across in some reading I was doing last evening. And this is a bit of, I suppose, a public service announcement in some way. Reading a little periodical that some of us get from time to time, and in it was an article on the challenges of the internet and some of the things that different individuals may or may not be afflicted with. And you might remember in years gone by, and maybe it's the same for you today, where you had someone who you were accountable to. If you were a member of the youth group in the last 15 years, I'm certain that your youth group leader has talked to you in this regard about being accountable. You need to be accountable to someone. And with the coming across of the internet, it's very easy to be not accountable, isn't it? Sitting there and a little 16-inch screen in front of you, turned into a corner, whatever the case might be. Well, there was this wonderful article which presented a program that you can put on your computer called Covenant Eyes. And what it does, it actually, you pick an accountable partner, whether it's your brother or sister or friend or husband or wife. And when you install this program, you then put in their email address somehow or other, and any site you view on the internet is then sent a report on a periodic basis to that other individual. I understand there's no way around it. The report goes. It doesn't block sites. It just tells somebody what you're watching. And if you have challenges in that regard, that might be something you want to look at. It may be a good thing to make you accountable, me accountable, to someone in that regard, because that is one of the things that is certainly tearing apart the people of God, and people in general. It is said in that article that 73, I believe it was, percent of men and 21% of women are afflicted. And with what they watch or portray or look at on the internet. Don't need to be any more graphic than that, but that might be something of interest to many here this morning. I'd like to say to you this morning that what I'm going to share with you comes from the heart. I have known for some time that I'm going to have the opportunity this morning to speak. And I don't think ever in my time of sharing from the Word of God, which has been 20 years or so now, I've ever struggled as hard to put together something to be able to share with the people of God as I did this morning. You might say, well, at the end of 35 minutes, that's very easy to see because we don't know what you said. If that's the case, I apologize up front. But I will say I do speak from the heart. Speak perhaps with some experience. 40, can't even hide your birthday anymore. If you look in that insert you have in your bulletin, everybody knows when your birthday is now. I don't know what's going on. So in a few weeks, I'll be 43 years old. Hard to believe that I get to be that old in such a short time. But nonetheless, a little bit of experience. Talking to a lovely lady this morning downstairs, and we were talking about some of the challenges and struggles in life, and we find out it doesn't get any easier. As a Christian, it think you get to the end of the road, so to speak, or the middle of the road, and you've gone through some of the bumps and the hurdles. It's just different. Still challenges. And I think there's one thing. I know there's one thing that I need, and I think there's one thing perhaps that many of us need here this morning. And if you're an individual this morning who is okay in this area, so to speak, that's wonderful. You just pray for the rest of us and encourage the rest of us on. There is a verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalm, chapter 37 and verse 4. If you want to underline it, it's an excellent verse to underline in your Bible if you do that kind of thing. Drawing, I'm a great scribe in my Bible, or circling things in different colors and notes in the margins and that kind of thing. And it's a wonderful thing, but it says this. And you're going to know the verse immediately when I start it. Maybe many of you know it by heart anyway. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4. Delight thyself also, what?
In the Lord.
In the Lord. Well, profound, isn't it? You know, we don't have to talk too much about delight today. We don't have to define, as it were, what we consider to be delight. What do we find our delight in, our interest in, whether it's in what we should or what we shouldn't maybe be doing? We live in a society of instant, supposedly, gratification. Fast food, fast delight, fast times, fast work, high pressure, all those things. And yet way back several hundred years ago, the Spirit of God caused an individual to pen in the eternal Word of God, delight thyself also in the Lord. The second half of that verse goes like this, and he shall give thee what? The desires of your heart, of thine heart. Well, I want to speak to you this morning from the heart, as I mentioned. And I want to speak to you about the heart. You know, the Lord Jesus and some of the other speakers in the Gospels would say things like this: out of the heart flow the issues of life. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, what the mouth speaketh. Talks about evil thoughts in the heart. And how we are oftentimes controlled by the heart. One person has defined the heart in this way. He says, the core of man's soul, the passion and motivation of the whole personality, the energy of the soul, and in simple terms, from my definition, thoughts and feelings, the intents of the heart. Do you have desires of the heart this morning? There's things that you want, there's things that you desire, there's people in your heart, and we're not talking about that organ that's in our chest on the left-hand side of the cavity. We're talking about this thing defined as the heart, the motivation, the feelings, the thoughts that's in our life that motivates our body, that controls sometimes our mind and occupies our mind. What is the thoughts of your heart? Where's my daughter? I have a couple of daughters here. One of them I don't see, right here. Front row. I was going to ask her before I come up for that little ring that's on her hand. She got a ring a few weeks ago. Little diamond. Well, I shouldn't say little. Nice diamond in the middle of it. Little is just a figure of speech. Don't get me wrong. And you know, in the lovely world we live in and the technology we have, they can use these cell phones or some kind of phone. They can have a phone program where they can call entire distance across Canada and talk for hours on end. Why? Because at the other end of that airwave or that communication system is the one who in earth, in the sense of an earth's mate, husband, to be, maybe, is the desire of her heart. What do they talk about for hours end? I have no idea. Oh, it's good. What did you do? How you feeling? What's going on? All those things. And the old heart's going because the thoughts and the feelings are there. And there's a longing. Do you remember that, men? When your wife-to-be, maybe at that point, or maybe now, that one whom your affection is for was away from you, and what did you desire to be? And I see one husband giving his wife the old elbow. I won't mention who it is. Wife's name's Trina. Do you remember that? I remember it. I remember it so well, and I was so anxious at the time to get this one who would be my beloved in time that 4 days after, everybody's heard this story, 4 days after we started going out, I asked her to marry me, and a few months later we were married, and I've never looked back. Desire of my heart. Bible tells me to love my wife. You remember that, men? Don't forget it. Don't lose sight of it. And love just doesn't mean like the gentleman who got married. And he told his wife, he says, you know, she commented, you never tell me you love me. He said, well, I told you when we get married, if I ever stop, I'll let you know. It's not what it means. It doesn't only mean just telling them that you love them. You know, sometimes it takes showing them that you love them. If you're an individual who doesn't show your wife or maybe your mom or dad or family member that you love them, try it and find and watch the way it's reciprocated and how that woman just melts into just loving you right back. It's so important. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's sacrificial love. It's a choice. It's something you do. But listen to what the Lord Jesus says about love and the heart. I was reminded of this verse the other night, although it should never be far from our minds and our thoughts. There was a time when some individuals came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, and they came up to him and they said, "Master, which is the greatest commandment?" You know, there were people who really wanted to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak. They wanted to catch him in something. Maybe you're here this morning who wants to really only catch God in something. You have no interest really in what God has to say. You have no interest in the truth. You merely want to perhaps prove that it's not right or not wrong. It's not applicable to you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, would not be fooled or deceived by their intentions, and he would say, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Another gospel writer would define that as all your strength. Use the mind in the words of understanding. For this is the first and greatest commandment. Unless we forget, he said that the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hinge all the law and the prophets, was the explanation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2/3 of our Bible written about the law and the prophets, with a little other stuff mingled in there, hinge. Loving God in a supernatural way. Because you can't, and I can't, love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, without his power. Because I confess before you this morning, as you already know well, and you know well of yourself, the Apostle Paul's words, he would say, that in my flesh dwells no good thing. David said it like this, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me, not of an inappropriate relationship, but rather that because David's mother was born a sinner. He was. And as much as I love my mother and my father who was here with us this morning, they were sinners. And they passed that on to me through no fault of their own in that sense. Your mom and dad did the same for you through no fault of their own, but regardless, we're sinners. So how do we love God? How do we bridge that? Well, we could share the gospel message this morning, that good news to men and women, boys and girls, young and old and all alike, that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost, the sinners of the world, everyone. You know, some people are deceived sometimes into thinking that heaven will be filled with good people. We'll go to heaven and there will be a whole passel of good people. Well, you know, I'm going to heaven. Many in this room this morning are going to heaven, and the only way we know we're getting to heaven is that we're sinners saved by grace. God's unmerited favor to individuals who will cry out in repentance and forgive and asking forgiveness for their sin and realizing that Jesus Christ is their Savior. On the other hand, there will be people in that place called hell populated with people who said, "I'm good enough." Or maybe, "I'm better than the next guy." You remember the person that used to sit beside me in the meeting all the time? We go to church, went to church my whole life. I'm a whole lot better than him or her. Hey, you know, I'm a whole lot better than the preacher. I see what he does outside of that platform through the week. You know, and you're probably right. But you see, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. And you look at me and judge me. You're looking on the outward appearance. You're seeing maybe things that don't account in the sense of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Although there should be visible signs that I do have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me ask you the question, how is your heart with God this morning? Christian, of which would be the majority, I'm sure, here this morning, is your heart right with God? The Bible talks about people being saved as by fire. Those who will merely get in by the skin of their teeth. And then there are those who will enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Receive and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And maybe a person who's not a Christian here this morning, is your heart right with God? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Heart issues. The heart issues of life. And I suppose we could put right alongside that the hard issues of life. Because I confess before you this morning, it's hard to do. Now the first question I have for you this morning, perhaps not the first, I've already asked you a couple. Let me ask you another one. Do you want to have a heart that's right with God? You see, for the Christians here, that should be your passion. That should be your desire. That should be and must be your ambition in life, is to have your heart right with God. On a day-to-day basis, enjoying the fellowship. Yes, there will be times when we need to confess our sin. All too often, I'm afraid. But he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does your speech betray you? I heard of a young person the other day who, for all intents and purposes, demonstrates and shows themselves to be a child of God. But in other areas, I understand that their vocabulary is less than to be desired. Using words that would perhaps make others change appearance in their face and cringe. Is that your plight? What about the mind? What about our actions? Is it something you want, or are you content with life as it is? Happy to go along. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul, another verse that has been burned into my mind the last number of weeks. He would say, I have finished the course. I've run the race. I've fought the fight. And I've finished the course. What it tells me is that it's a fight. It's a battle. Then he goes on in another section to talk about how we're to put on the armor of God. And to be prepared, and having done all to stand. He talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Protect your heart. You know, we bring our children up in this regard, don't we? We caution them what they watch, what their thoughts are, what their motives are, what their desires are. We try to change their desires to be those right things for good things and honorable things and all of this. And yet sometimes when we come to ourselves and our own desires and our own motivations, we seem to think that we're just okay. Do you want it? For the unsaved individual here this morning, are you happy to have your heart on right with God? Is there any point in your life, has there ever been a point where God has come to you and convicted you of your sin? Because he sent the Spirit of God into this world. In John chapter I want to say 17, but I think it's 18, where he talked about he would send the Comforter into this world, and he would convict the world of sin. Have you ever been convicted of sin? And some people squiggle. And some people squirm. And some will admit to themselves, yes, I have. And done nothing about it. And then others will sit very calmly, very casually, and yeah, I remember that. And do nothing about it. And you know, the one that the Lord is really looking, I suppose, and dealing with is the one who will, in honesty and integrity of heart, admit that they're convicted of sin and will want to do something about it. He will convict of sin, of righteousness. We made reference to the fact that people oftentimes compare individuals with other individuals. You see, the standard is not being like me. The standard is not me being like you. Hey, let's put a popular name on it. The standard isn't even like being like Billy Graham. You see, the standard is God Himself. Righteousness. God is righteous, and God acts in total and absolute righteousness all the time. He's not only righteous, He is just. And what that means to individuals is that He one day will judge on the basis of righteousness, and He will do it rightly, justly. There won't be things swept under the carpet. There won't be deeds that are not explained. There won't be, well, that's okay. And judgment. He will convict of judgment. The prince of this world is judged. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, would say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" You see, the devil knows what's laid out for him. It's all recorded in the eternal word of God. Judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ took my judgment and the judgment of the whole world in His body when He died on Calvary. And now He wants to do a work in our heart that is like no other in the sense of the works that we can create or we can do in our own hearts. He wants to do a work. He wants to clean it up. He wants to sweep it out. He wants to make us right with Himself, and then He wants to use us in a day-to-day fashion in our lives. What is your passion? What is your desire? I mentioned my daughter. Her desire is toward her husband-to-be. I can see it in her eyes. I can listen to it in her voice. I can talk to him on the phone, and the same thing, it's reciprocated. How sad it would be she calls him up tomorrow and says, "Oh, I'm missing you so much." "Oh, yeah, well, don't have time today. Really busy. Come back later." That kind of stuff happens. So later she comes back. "Well, I'm still really busy." And this goes on and on and on. Does this go on for you in your relationship with God? Where you're too busy to talk. Wonders of technology that my daughter can talk to British Columbia or somewhere else in the world for any of us, and yet we won't take the time when we don't need technology to speak to the God of heaven. Bow in a moment of time in our heart, so to speak, and we can speak to God. Heart issues of life. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And I want to read for you at verse 36. Now, we're breaking into the middle of a passage here that has a tremendous amount to say. Peter is speaking to a great group of people here in Jerusalem after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to Jewish people. He's speaking to those who as well who would come out of being Jews only, if I can use that term, and come into the church. Those who would be born again. And there's a thought here I want to pick up on. Listen in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, which he has earlier said, he was Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked. Where? In their heart. Now I want to be careful as we talk about Israel and the church a little bit. I don't want to confuse the fact that the church is not Israel. There's no spiritual Israel being reborn in the church. Some of those things that are talked about today, no. But what I want to get across to you this morning is that these men and women were pricked in their heart. That the fact that they had heard and understood and could a few short days before, wasn't that far removed from them, remember the events of the day when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, God manifest in the flesh, had been crucified, had laid down His life. Maybe there were those in this crowd who would have stood at the place called Calvary and heard those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It is finished, and into thy hands I commend or commit my spirit. Maybe they could remember of having heard of the words of the Lord Jesus where he would say, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down freely of myself. If I lay it down, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And what it says is that they were pricked in their heart, in the thoughts, in the feelings, in that place, in their existence. They were moved. And not only were they moved, as we would read on, we would find out they were motivated because they said, what must we do? They didn't merely walk away from it and say, as King Agrippa did one time, you know, he told Paul, who brought to him the words of life, who talked of him of righteousness, who talked of him of the prophets and what the word of God said. And he, a man who had the authority to have this man in his presence as much as he wanted to talk to about these things, he says, I'll hear you in a more convenient time. I'll call for you maybe someday when I want to be talked about these things. What about you this morning? What about me? Are you motivated? Are you pricked in your heart because of the fact that Christ died for you? And maybe you realize again, or maybe for the first time, that without Christ, you will spend an eternity in that place called hell, that God never prepared for man, but rather for the devil and his angels. And you will have all of eternity in that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth and blackness forever to remember and consider. No love. I was listening to someone not that long ago as they talked a little bit about it. You know, all the blessings and the things that we take for granted today, the green grass, the fresh air, the beautiful flowers, all that, it was all gone. And to be as that rich man we read of in the Gospel of Luke, who lifted up his eyes in hell, in torments, but yet remembered, had a good memory. Or will you rather be the individual who looks at it and says, I understand. I appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sin. And I will respond as these individuals do, as we would turn over the page, where they gladly, verse 41, received his word. They believed what he was saying. And they believed that Jesus Christ was the way into God's heaven. And Jesus Christ was the way to be saved from their sin. And Jesus Christ was the way to have a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ was now the way that they could delight their self in the Lord. Do you know what that word delight means? I was astounded when I looked at it. As we read in Psalm 37. You think it would be, you know, I'm delighted, you know, I'm excited, I'm happy. That kind of delight. It rather means to be soft. Or pliable. We're talking about the desires of the heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What it means is to be soft and pliable, as the Spirit of God would work with you, as he would mold you and fashion you. And part of it is being saved. It's the first part. You allow the Lord to mold you and make you into what he wants you to be, for he has a plan for your life and for mine. And he'll give you the desires of their heart, because now the desires of your heart are linked up with the desires of his heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ talked about that in the book of John. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it unto you. And some people take that to mean, well, whatever I want now. Whatever I lust, whatever I desire, I can ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm a Christian, and I can have it because he said it's so. You don't ask for something wrong in the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't work out. But he could say that to his disciples, his intimate ones, because now they would have the desires of God. They would be men, and there would later be women who could do it as they would talk to them, because their hearts were now linked with God. Where is our heart? Where's our desire? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, there's all kinds of things that take our heart's desire. Our work, our recreation, our car, our house, our money, our time. Put whatever you want there, and we'll go to the ends to make it so that we can have what is our heart's desire. At least what we think is our heart's desire, or what we think will make us happy. What about God? What about living? Think of the little chorus that we oftentimes sing, or maybe it's a hymn. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving. You know, I go to work and I strive some days to please my employer, to do a good job, and that's honorable. We're supposed to do that. Don't go there and lollygag around and just get paid. It's wrong. Striving to please him in all that I do. My work, my family, my thought life, in my heart, in my actions. But it's work. It does not come easy. If you look at a Christian who's doing well, or maybe you think is doing well, you say, man, I wish I could get to there. You know, sometimes it might be hard to get to there. But I'll guarantee it's a lot harder to stay there and to keep going. It's work. It's not a pill. There's not a book in the sense of how to be spiritual. Well, I suppose there is the book. But even reading this book, then you must make it your heart's desire. There must be an obedience and a desire to please God in your life. These people that we read of, they were pricked in their heart, they were moved, they were motivated, but there was those who walked away as well. If you think at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, there were those who simply, in front of it all, the astounding words, the God of heaven, hanging on a cross, dying, shedding his blood, having performed miracles. We read of it, Peter said, a man of God, approved of God, a man approved of God among you by signs and miracles, wonders, was evidence to the fact. And there would be those who would say they would just sit down and watch him there. Herod called for the Lord Jesus Christ in the form, the last hours of his life, and he was desirous for a long time to see him, we read. Why? Because he wanted him to perform some miracle. He just wanted a show. What do we want? What do young people want in their lives? What do older people want in their lives? What do us who are in the middle of the race want in our lives? Heart issues. Tell you what I want. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, to exercise my strength and my energy in that regard, to have my understanding filled with all of that. And I want it today. Tomorrow. The next day. And you know, I'll never get there in time. So why bother wanting? Why bother trying? Why? Why not just close the book. Put it on the shelf. I'm saved. I know it. Because it's part of the process. It's part of life. You might remember, I don't know where I got the little saying, but it must be said by somebody very popular because I hear it different places. So it certainly didn't come from me. Keep on keeping on. Is your heart not right with God? Then get it right. Don't just sit on your laurels, so to speak. Don't say, well, I can't do it. There's no use. Listen to the hymn writer. Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Countest thou all things but Jesus, for Jesus, but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? In your life, does he rule? Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? There's other phrases in that song. Are you saved this morning? Is your heart right with God positionally? Meaning, are you in Christ? Because if you're not, the rest of it is of no relevance to you this morning. If you're not in Christ, get in Christ. Make your heart, get your heart right with God. Allow him to save you. And if your heart's right with God, or if it's not right with God in the sense of our daily living, which we just want more. I trust that's what you want. Well, let's work towards having more. And then we want more, and we just It should be that thirst. As the deer pants, what? For the water. You ever been thirsty? I'm thirsty right now, and there's a wonderful cup of water, which I'm going to get in a second. But those times when you're just dried right up, and you long, you don't want Pepsi. You don't want orange juice or something like that. You want some cold water. As the deer pants for the water, David would say, so my soul longeth after thee. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of your heart. I trust we would be affected, that we would not leave being hearers only, and that I would not leave being just merely someone who's occupied almost 40 minutes of your time, but rather that we would be changed and we would be affected for life, for all of time and then all of eternity, and that we would do so for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.